Welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
Well, what we're doing this morning actually is we're finishing off a message that we had started last week, and we started out with a passage in Romans where the Apostle Paul is talking about his internal struggle. He said, "Man, I want to do the right thing, but every time I try to do the right thing, I end up doing the wrong thing, and so I've got this frustration. You know, I want to do right on the inside, but he said I discover this principle in my life. When I want to do what's right, I inevitably do what's wrong. I love God's with all my heart, God's law with all my heart, but there's another power that's working, warring against my mind. He says, what a miserable person I am. Who's going to free me from this life? And he goes, thank God the answer is in Jesus Christ our Lord. And so we looked at the fact that you've kind of got this back and forth. And the inward man, God's made us brand new in Christ. The old's passed away. Behold, all's become new. But you still have a mortal body. You have a body that has appetites that are not good, that are not right, that you still have to bring under and keep under, like the Apostle Paul said. And so you've kind of got this back and forth thing. And I kind of likened it a little bit to the Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde, the old story there where you've got good, Dr. Jekyll and you got evil Mr. Hyde. You know, the good doctor creates this potion, he drinks it, and then you've got this dual personality. And it's just amazing if you've lived for God any amount of time, how, and you've maybe observed it in yourself, how you could be close and intimate with God and just loving God and spiritual things are real, and even later that day do something dumb and yield to the flesh and go, oh, what's going on here? So the title of the message this morning, or last week, was really called The Victory of Dr. Spirit Over Mr. Flesh. So we kind of took that concept and we realized that, thank God, the Apostle Paul didn't stop in Romans chapter 7. He went on to Romans chapter 8 to answer some of his own questions and to help get him out of his own dilemma and quandary that he's dealing with in that battle against sin. It's like, man, if I'm brand new in Christ and the old spiritual moral person has passed away, that'll previous, then why am I still struggling and getting beat up by sin? You know, what's the answer here? And so that's what we're going to talk about more this morning. And kind of review quickly, we said, as far as that victory of Dr. Spirit, the good Dr. Spirit over evil Mr. Flesh, we found out one thing, first of all, is that Mr. Flesh has nothing new. Everything that Mr. Flesh throws at us is common to man. Whatever you're dealing with has been dealt with by millions and millions and millions of people before you. Maybe different names, different faces, different situations, but the principle of what you're dealing with has been and is being dealt with across for billions of people. So there's nothing new here. Every temptation you deal with, it's common to man. What you've gone through, everybody else has gone through. But thank God there's a way of escape that he provides for us in those temptations. We also said, what does that work of the flesh look like? What's the stuff when we're talking about the flesh? What do we mean by that? It's this stuff. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. So he's kind of given us 17 specifics, and he's saying, you get the idea. That's the kind of stuff you and me are dealing with. Born-again Christians who love God with all our heart are still getting tapped on the mind by this stuff? Yeah, we are. And that's what we call it's the work of the flesh in that struggle. What Mr. Flesh throws at us is nothing new here. It's the same kind of stuff that he's been dealing with people for millennium. And we see here, even the Apostle Paul, he said, I have to keep my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means after I've preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. I mean, that's pretty powerful talk. I mean, this is the great Apostle Paul had to keep his body under control. Yeah, he'd been cut up to the third heaven. Saw Jesus, heard things in heaven that weren't even lawful to be spoken down here on earth, comes back into his body and still has to keep his flesh under. There's no spiritual experience you can have in God that you graduate from temptation. Jesus was tempted in every point as we are, yet without sin. So, the good news, it's common to man. The bad news is you got it to deal with, but the good news is that Jesus, because he's dealt with it, it says he's able to run to the cry of assist and relieve those who are being tempted. That's part of his great high priest ministry. So as I'm being tempted, I can cry out before that throne of grace like we did this morning and find relief from temptation, from my Lord Jesus Christ. So good news. Again, that's what Dr. Flesh, whatever he throws at us, it's common to man. And it's stuff that we can get relief from in Christ as well. But here's what we got to last week also is that even though Mr. Flesh has nothing new, Mr. Flesh has nothing new, Dr. Spirit does have new spiritual strength. We found out that something happened when Christ, Jesus Christ, lived that perfect sinless life. That was a big deal. It was a big deal, number one, because it made his blood unique. That when that blood was shed, it wasn't like any other human blood. Even though he came in the likeness of sinful flesh, he never sinned. So when that blood was shed, it had a redemptive quality. It had the ability to pay for and relieve the debt of all the sin of us, of all the world. So it made his blood wonderfully, powerfully unique in living that sinless life. But we also said that living the sinless life did something also. It says that for what the law couldn't do and that it was weak through of the flesh, that's us because we couldn't keep it. Not that the law was imperfect. The law was perfect, but we were imperfect because of our flesh. God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and on account of sin, he, Jesus, condemned sin in the flesh. That's the other thing that a perfect sinless life could do. It could turn around, look sin square in the face, and say, I condemn you. You're wrong. You're evil. You're bad. You're condemned. I couldn't do that. You couldn't do that. We didn't have the moral authority to do that. Hypocrites. Adam and Eve couldn't do that. But there was one who did it. There was one who lived a perfect sinless life who had the moral authority to condemn sin in the flesh. We were down here looking up at sin, not being able to get free from it. All that sin is just over me. Jesus lived above sin. He looked down on it, condemned sin in the flesh. And when we became in Christians, we were in Christ. And he raised us up together with him and gave us that place of dominion over sin. Sin shall no longer have dominion over you because you're in Christ. You're looking down on it. You have something in Christ. You have a new spiritual strength in Christ that you didn't have before when you weren't a Christian. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. It's a new spiritual strength that was unleashed with the perfect sinless life of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was the blood that could cleanse from our sin. Praise God, we're forgiven, cleansed, made righteous. But also a law of the Spirit of life for the here and now to give us victory over the power of sin so we can live free from it. And so we're looking again at the victory of Dr. Spirit over Mr. Flesh. So just kind of summarizing, that's what he had. You know, now, you know, by the Spirit, we can put to death, by the Spirit, verse 13, by the Spirit, you put to death the deeds of the body. You will live. So we still have those things warned, but we have power now and the ability to do that. God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. Just elaborating a little bit more on this law of the Spirit of life. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, who infuses inner strength in me. I'm self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. That great passage, I can do all things. That law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus is what gives me the ability to do that. So we're going to grow on, and we're going to kind of finish this morning with the final point, and that is point number three, Dr. Spirit has a new way to live, okay? We said that Dr. Spirit has a new spiritual strength, and we've kind of elaborated on what this strength can do. But now we want to kind of bring that down where faith meets real life and show how me and you, in a practical way, unleash the law of the Spirit of life in our own lives and get victory over the weights and the sins that so easily beset us. Okay? You looked at that list of flesh. You can look at that list of all those 17 things and the like, and look at some of them and go, wow, I've never had a problem with that. And look at other things, yeah, that's my kryptonite. That's the one I have a problem with. You know, there's certain things that may easily beset you. But as we look at the law of the Spirit of life, man, it makes us free from the law of sin and death. And so as we're going to continue this morning on in that, we see that the Scripture very clearly lays out that we have a new way to live. And this is how Romans 7 puts it. For when we were in the flesh, the sinful passions which were aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit to death. But now we've been delivered from the law, having died to what we were held by, so that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit and not the oldness of the letter. The law was full of thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. And the reason why the law was weak through the flesh, as it said in Romans 8:3, is because our ability to obey all the thou shalt nots. We just couldn't live up. We couldn't measure up. So God changed the whole paradigm. He changed the whole way of living right from keeping track of a bunch of don'ts to serving in a newness of the Spirit. A newness of the Spirit. It's a new way to live. We're living in the newness of the Spirit. And there's a phrase for this that you'll see throughout the Scripture too, this newness of the Spirit. It's called walking in the Spirit. And Galatians 5 puts it this way, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish." But you see here where Paul is saying, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. It's a mind-blowing way to think of living free. Because when you look at the flesh, this was what the flesh was. Works of the flesh are evident, adultery, fornication, we went over them. You know, but he's just saying, walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. You might have heard of the old phrase, you know, killing two birds with one stone. Well, you're killing about 17 birds and the like with one stone. It's changing the way you live. Dr. Spirit has a new way to live where you're not focusing on everything that's wrong with you. You're focusing on Jesus. You're focusing on Him. You're looking unto Him. It's a totally different perspective. You're walking in the Spirit. Look at the promise of walking in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And again, like you look at that list, and you can say, well, really? So if I walk in the Spirit, I can get free from all that stuff? Again, you might look at that list and see your kryptonite up there. Okay, kryptonite, you know, it's the old Superman. You could do anything, but kryptonite, that mineral kryptonite would make him weak and he couldn't do anything, you know. So he had a vulnerability. But you see, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has no kryptonite. There is no weakness. The weights and the sins that may so easily beset you, maybe because of your past history, There is no kryptonite in the law of the Spirit of life and that's in Christ Jesus, because Jesus Christ himself had no kryptonite. There was nothing the devil threw at him. Oh, that was his weakness. No, nothing. Everything the enemy threw at him, and he threw everything at him, tempted in every point as we are. He tried every form of kryptonite he could. Nothing got Jesus to bow. Perfect power. So when I look at that list, I see Jesus defeated everything up there and the like. This law of the Spirit of life that's going to run me now, I can have victory over every sin because Jesus had victory over every sin. And so I'm seeing that. Jesus was and is the true Superman. And then he turned around and gave his superpowers to us to live right. The law of the Spirit of life that's in Christ Jesus. It's this new spiritual law. Let's take a look at some more things we get. There's therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Not only do you, you know, not fulfill the lust of the flesh, but there's no condemnation when you're walking in the Spirit. You're made free, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Again, what the law couldn't do in that day, it was weak through the flesh. God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, born-again Christians. Not talking about Jewish people living under the law. He's talking about born-again Christians fulfilling the righteous requirement of the law who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. It's a roundabout way of living right without being under the law. In other words, you're going to be free from all the junk without living under the law. It's pretty an amazing thing. It's this thing called walking in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit. And so we're getting down to it. So how do you walk in the Spirit? What does that mean? Now, I want to kind of brace you a little bit because it is so simple. It's frustratingly simple. It's not complicated. It's not a bunch of hoops to walk in the Spirit. We're going to keep reading because the context of the passage explains what it means by walking in the Spirit. It goes on to say in verse 5 here, "For those who live according to the flesh or walk in the flesh, set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit or walk in the Spirit, set their minds on the things of the Spirit. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. It's not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. He kind of brought us all this way of walking in the Spirit, newness of the Spirit, to really bring us to this inflection point. People who walk in the Spirit, who live in the Spirit, stay spiritually minded. Stay spiritually minded. Well, I don't do this, and I don't do that, and I don't do this, and I do do... You're staying spiritually minded. In other words, this is what Colossians says. It says, if then you were raised with Christ, which we were, above the law of sin and death, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, spiritual mindedness, not on things on the earth. You died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Now, when you think about this, you mean all I got to do is just set my mind on things above and I can go free from stuff? It sounds too simple. Well, it is simple. I didn't say it's always easy, though. Just because something is simple in terms of instruction doesn't mean that it's always an easy thing to do. In fact, when we looked at that Galatians passage, it says, the Spirit lusts against the flesh lusts against the Spirit against the flesh. They're contrary one to the other. It says, you can't do the things that you would. So that doesn't sound easy. There is a push and a pull. There is a struggle that is going on. In fact, that lusteth against, it just means strong desire. It's a neutral word. The Spirit has a strong desire against your flesh has a strong desire against your spirit. They're contrary to each other, so that you can't always do the things that you would. So it is simple, but it's not always easy. You're living on a cursed planet with demonic spirits involved, your own fallen flesh, an atmosphere that glorifies the work of the flesh. It's not always easy to keep your mind set on things above. Have you discovered that? It seems like such a simple principle, and it is simple in principle. Now think about this. It has to be simple in principle. We understand why salvation has to be simple in principle. What if salvation was a complicated thing that required a certain IQ, and you did have to solve all the philosophical problems of the day to really be saved? Who could be saved? God frustrates the wisdom of the wise and makes salvation so simple that the Holy Spirit just reveals to us our sinful condition, and we say, oh, God, help me. Jesus, I need you. I need a Savior. Help me. He brings you to that place of simple humility. It's so simple that anyone, whosoever will, can do it. You don't need this big, high IQ to be able to receive Christ. It's so simple. And what you got to realize, too, and a lot of us realize that, you know I'm saved by grace through faith. It's a simple thing. I didn't do anything heroic or any, you know, mental feat, you know, to figure it out and calculate it and become a Christian. No, it was just humbled myself, like Jesus said, as a little child, and then entered in. Well, what we got to realize is not only did God make it simple to get saved, but he also had to make it simple to get free. He had to make it simple to get free in your life. You know, it's not like, you know, we understand that I don't have to do all these feats to be able to see something to receive Christ and get saved, but yet we'll come over here sometimes in the area of trying to get free, and we got these really complicated things in life, and my goodness, you have to be a genius and a scriptural genius and all that to, you know, getting free is, you know, for this select group of brilliant people who really know the Bible well. Those are the only people that could really live for God. I mean, anybody can get saved, but to really live for God, you got to be this, no. He made salvation available to whosoever will, and he made living in the power of God available to whosoever will. You know, people, I know we're all brilliant people in here, but you got to understand that people whose IQ is half of what ours is, who isn't as brilliant as us, they still have the same hurtful relationship problems and all that that us brilliant people go through. So wherever you are on the intelligence spectrum, he had to make his word and that law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus available to whosoever will. So you were frustrated when you got saved that it was just, you got to humble yourself as a little child. Get ready to get frustrated again. You want to get free from that thing? You're going to be taking some pressure off your brilliant intelligence and humbling yourself again to a simple, single-dimensional truth, keeping my mind on things above. Oh. We love to get complicated with our problems, but I'm telling you, he'll humble you back to a simple, childlike, spiritual mindedness, where I'm focusing on Him, keeping my heart on Him. I like to say this, you know, when I lived in the IS days, being a computer programmer in the mid-90s, and what they would do back then is they would have everything was, you could do or not do in business depending on this one all-important question: can our computer do that? Yes or no? Can we do this? Marketing has a great idea. Can our computer do that? Well, we might be able to do part of that. No, we can't do that. Inventory might have a great idea. Can we do that? No, our computer can't do that. And after a while, the business got frustrated and said, look, we're going to have that paradigm shift. Instead of running our company by what the computer can and cannot do, we're going to get our marketing people, we're going to get our inventory people, we're going to get our business people together and say, what do you want? What are the best ideas? We're going to chuck that computer and get a computer system that can do what we want to do. We're going to be driven by the life and the brilliance. So in other words, I'm not going back to see what I can and what I can't do. And when you're living above the law of sin and death with the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, it's kind of like that. You're taking inventory. Could I do that? Could I not murder somebody? Okay, I could not murder somebody. Okay, I could do that. Could I, be abusive? Okay, I could not be abusive. Can you forgive 70 times 7? No, I can't do that. No, this computer won't do that. You know, I'm going to have the outbursts of wrath and all that. Sorry, this computer can't do that. And so we kind of live our lives by what the computer can and can't do, which is, i.e., our self-discipline, our ability. And so God is saying, nope, we're chucking that old computer system. You're not living by what you can and can't do anymore. You're living by a new law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And through that law, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. It's a whole different way of living. It's a whole different way of thinking. And that law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, it not only makes you free from the law of sin and death, but you stop getting intimidated by the works of the flesh, and you intimidate the works of the flesh by who's living on the inside of you. There's a spiritual mindedness that's powerful along these lines. And it's important to understand that when we're talking about being spiritually minded, this is not just talking about, you know, pie in the sky, not dealing with things. You know, it is absolutely dealing with things head on. In fact, Philippians 4 puts it this way: be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. You brutally confront every negative anxiety and thing that's coming against you, and you take it to God in prayer. When we do that, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true — here's where you're about to get spiritually minded, it's the follow-through to your prayer — whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. He's talking about getting spiritually minded in the midst of anxiety. But it's not you sticking the head. You are praying about it. You're acknowledging God. You're saying, God, I have a fear here. I have a concern here. This is an issue. I place it in your hands. Help me. You have a cry to run to. Give me grace. Give me strength. Lord, I cast this care over on you. Articulate it. Everything that's on your heart, let it out before that throne of grace. And the peace of God will reciprocate that. You might not know what's going to happen next, but you just know that you got what was in you out, and you know that it's at the throne of grace. And there's peace in that, doing it. And then you just, on purpose, begin to get spiritually minded again, setting your mind. Why does that work? How is that different than a person who doesn't know God, who's just in the natural, listening to positive self-help tapes? How is that different? There's something different between you, a born-again child of God with the Holy Spirit living in you, and a natural person just listening to self-help positive thinking tapes. The big difference is you're born again, you have the Holy Spirit in you. A person over here is trying to think happy thoughts, to feel emotionally good, to feel inspired to do the right thing. You over here, setting your mind on things above, have the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus flowing through those thoughts that is giving power to your spirit to do the right thing. There's a huge difference between those two. No, it's not, I'm good enough, I'm strong enough, and doggone it, people like me. Versus, if God be for me, who can be against me? Praise God. Very different. So it's not, it's not power of, just happy thoughts over bad thoughts. It's the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus over the law of sin and death. Big difference. We're living by that power. We're fueled by that power. And And so the the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus that has made me free from the law of sin and death, praise God, it is activated when you're spiritually minded. Have you noticed that? Let me just give you a couple more quick practical ways that you walk in the Spirit and are spiritually minded. It's not just sitting alone in your prayer closet meditating on Scripture. That's a powerful way that you're spiritually minded. Get in the Word of God. Think about that. Break it down. My goodness, there's nothing that can separate me from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. Height, depth, powers, principalities, sword, peril. Nothing can separate me from His love. Think about that. Meditate on it. Dwell it. But that's just one of many ways. By you being here this morning, you're already putting into motion three ways of walking in the Spirit. When you came in here and you worshiped God, you set your mind on things above. And when you worship God, you sense His presence. It is like a switch in a railroad track. And you switch your mind to things above. You sense something bigger than yourself. You sense the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. You sense the power of the Holy Spirit. What are you doing? You're just setting your mind. Well, I'm worshiping God. You're worshiping God, but you're setting your mind on things above. Listening to a minister on a Sunday morning preach the word. You're setting your mind on things above. You're picking up things in your spirit even right now. I like to say there's two sermons on a Sunday morning. The one I'm preaching and the one the Holy Spirit's preaching to you that we don't see, only you and God know. But there's stuff going on the inside of you because you're, what, setting your mind on things above. Your fellowship with each other. Before, during, after the service, and you begin to talk about spiritual things, you begin to go back and forth. You're setting your mind on things above. When you're in your prayer closet and you're pouring out your heart to God, when you're going throughout your day and just thanking Him for every little thing and just having that heart of gratitude, man, you're setting your mind on things above. So this walk in the Spirit is very multifaceted. It just begins to fill your day in so many different ways. That law of the Spirit of life is just staying active throughout your whole day. So the victory of Dr. Spirit over Mr. Flesh. Mr. Flesh has nothing new. Everything is common to man. Satan loves to isolate you, make you feel weird, make you feel unique, and there's nobody just as horrible as you. Wrong, wrong, wrong. It's just the same old lie. It's common to man. But thank God in Christ, we have a new spiritual power that destroyed that ceiling, that broke through that ceiling. Our Lord Jesus Christ, His successful life, and He turned around and gave me His righteousness, gave me that law of the Spirit of life, that when I stay spiritually minded in something, I'm going to defeat it. I'm going to beat it. I'm going to win. Like Jesus said in the, you know, when Adam and Eve were tempted, that fruit looked good for food. When Jesus was out in the wilderness, Satan tempted Him, and man, I'm sure those rocks turning into bread after 40 days of fasting would look good for food too. But He said, no, it is written, declaring the word of the Lord, powerful way you dispel it. And you take authority over every work of the flesh. What was Jesus doing? He was putting into motion that law of the Spirit of life that's in Christ Jesus. We have a new spiritual power, a new spiritual way to live. That can be a whole nother, obviously, sermon in itself, but that's what I wanted to get across to you this morning and kind of bringing this thing to a close, that there is a law of the Spirit of life. It is greater than the law of sin and death. There's no kryptonite. Whatever weight and sin that has so easily beset you did not beset Jesus. And because of that, you can overcome it too. By His power. Well, Heavenly Father, we thank You so much this morning for just the reality of the power of the law of the Spirit of life that's in Christ Jesus. It has made us free from the law of sin and death. There's nothing that we have to be afraid of. There is nothing that we can't do through Christ who strengthens us. We thank You, Lord Jesus. He that is in us is truly greater than he that's in this world, greater than the influences coming against our mind. Father, I just pray for each one here this morning that they would see and identify themselves with who they really are. They are a new creation in Christ Jesus. That old has passed away. They are brand new in You right now, Heavenly Father. And I pray for each one here, whatever the weight and sin might be, I pray, Father God, that You will show them that spiritual truth, that counterpart, Father God, where they can say, it is written, and get spiritually minded in the very area that they've been carnally minded, that we can get spiritually minded, praise God, and put to death the law of sin and death in that area too, and overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, which is the word of God through which the law of the Spirit of life flows. We thank You for it, Father God. We thank You for Your grace and peace right now to help each one. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God.